Dynamite!
It's Dynamite!
Wednesday night, Dynamite!
So Dynamite!
This is awesome! It's a dick, it's a nut, it's a nut! Hey, everybody! Have a great time!
It's Dynamite!
I'm not one of these f***ing goof podcasters out there. I am Don Tony, Wednesday night, Dynamite! Could you slap me now? Could you slap me now? Could you slap? I'm sure you could hear me now, right? Can you hear me? I'm sorry, everybody. My apologies. I know you can hear me now. You know what it was? I don't like the typing of my keyboard to be heard when I'm doing the show at the beginning. So I actually mute my microphone, especially when I take the first shot of this. I kind of burp a little bit, and I forgot to unmute the mixer. So my apologies. You didn't miss anything. All right, let me start this over. Welcome, everyone, to Wednesday Night Dynamite. Little bit different format this week. Yeah, let's do it. I am Don Tony, as always. Happy holidays, everybody. Merry Christmas. All the best to all of you out there. Much love, as always. I thank you for the support, and I thank you for putting up with a minute and a half of pure silence. All right, let me explain to everybody what the deal is with this week and the shows. I was faced with a dilemma because AEW, and for the deaf people out there, you're probably reading my lips right now and saying, wait a minute, he just said this shit. What is he saying it again for? But anyway, AEW Dynamite has not even started yet tonight. I don't understand why Turner couldn't treat it like Fox did with SmackDown and air it on a different Turner network. Maybe there's basketball on all the Turner networks tonight. I have no idea. But AEW is yet to start tonight. So I obviously want to cover both shows. I don't want to do it Christmas Day. I could do it Saturday. But by then, Dynamite's already been out 3-4 days. The recap is a little late. So I was going to post a little video this afternoon to give you all a chance to vote. Problem is, I don't know how many of you out there have notifications active or even subscribed to the channel. So I posted on Twitter instead. So the idea was, I had two ideas. Either one, I start the show tonight at around midnight or 12:30 in the morning, Eastern Standard Time, after AEW is done and we cover both shows. But I know a lot of you out there still work tomorrow, maybe just a half a day, but you still work. And the other idea was I come up here for half a show tonight. We just cover NXT tonight, nothing else. And then tomorrow I cover AEW. It seems like everybody has settled on 4 p.m. Eastern tomorrow for me to cover AEW live. So if you're around about 4 p.m. Eastern, you're more than welcome to join me live. Soon as I am done with this show tonight, I'm going in the other room. Won't pop an ambient right away, but I'll watch AEW Dynamite tonight, take my notes, and I'll be all ready for tomorrow's show. So tonight, you got about an hour with me for NXT, and tomorrow, you'll have about an hour with me for AEW. So, yeah, I think 4 p.m. is a good time because I know a lot of you are working half a day. It's not too late in the evening. I'm going over to girls' house tomorrow, and, you know, I don't usually go there till like 8-9 o'clock at night. But, you know, their tradition is they always exchange gifts at the stroke of midnight. And for the last 8 Christmases, no joke, for the last 8, the ritual's been the same. Christmas Eve, I go over her house, and I have to just sit there. And they're playing all this Spanish music, and they're doing, like, you know, the mambos and all this other stuff. And me, I'm the only, like, non, you know, Latino or German there because they're mixed. And I'm just sitting there bored. And I'm like, come on, is it midnight yet? Why do we have to open gifts at midnight? Let's do it at 9, 9:30. Let's do it Christmas Day. And at midnight, we open gifts. And then by the time it's over with and everybody's like, oh, thank you, it's 1 a.m. And I don't get home till like 1:30. And then I'm still like all like smell of like Christmas Eve food. I don't go to sleep till like 3 a.m. So I'm probably going to have to do that again on Friday. But big shout out to everybody who is tuning in. Big shout to all of you who are joining me live today. Obviously, the AEW fans that are not fans of NXT are likely not going to tune in, which is cool. And tomorrow, a lot of AEW fans, no, a lot of, yeah, a lot of AEW fans that are not NXT fans will tune in tomorrow. So it'll probably be vice versa. Merry Christmas to you, Puffy89. All the best, my friend. And yeah, you know, you would think, seriously, I'm not kidding when I say this, you would think on a very important episode of Dynamite, because it's going to be an important episode. I don't want to give anything away, but if you look at the title of what I have advertised for tomorrow's recap, you kind of get an idea of a couple of things that are going to go down. But you would think that, you know, we're right at the end of the year. I mean, why air it at 12:30 in the morning? I mean, if you're going to do that, you might as well air it Christmas Eve. I mean, it's, you know, we're in the middle of COVID still. I don't know many people that are going to be out dining in bars and everything late Christmas Eve. I don't know why they chose this today. But again, like I said, maybe all the Turner networks are airing basketball tonight. Who knows? Who knows? Yeah, I thought about doing a watch-along. Problem is, I did a watch-along for the presidential debate, the first watch-along I ever did, and it sucked. I did a watch-along for the second hour of an NXT special earlier this year with, I think, Mish and Kev Castle, and it sucked. And I don't have more than two or three watch-alongs under my belt. So I think what I got to do is do it with Mish a couple of times, or, you know, maybe I will do it myself. That guy, Wrestling Days, D-A-Z-E, I know a lot of you know who he is. That guy does phenomenal watch-alongs. I sit there and I watch him sometimes, and I'm like, man, that guy is talented. He really does a damn good job with it. So, you know, watch-alongs are a little bit tricky, and, you know, we'll see. We'll see. But the problem is, if you do a watch-along, you know, it's really hard to also start, because you know me, I like to go back and forth with a few topics. And yes, it forces you to keep on point. But then once the show is over, I don't want to do a recap. I just did a watch along and reacted to everything as it was happening in progress. So, but, you know, that's definitely something to consider without a doubt. So NXT tonight, I tell you, man, it was a mixed bag for me. And I saw some of you chatting right now saying that if NXT doesn't do 900,000 viewers, that is considered a disappointment. I'll be honest with you. The first hour of NXT, look, I know Killian Dane and Only Larkin, Only Larkin and Danny Burch are the tag champs. And I know NXT wanted to do that tag match with Killian Dane and Drake Maverick for a while, if you remember. Ever since Killian Dane got attacked outside and it was like a giant pool of blood, looked like a bad episode of Forensic Files. But man, why is WWE getting on this? And I don't know if you all noticed it. Happened again this week. Two times in 3 days. We have a street fight. A street fight. A street fight. You know, when they advertise a cage match, it means it's supposed to represent, you know, a cage. Like, oh, I'm locked in a cage and I can't get out. And I'm so angry, I'm going to use the cage as a weapon. When you have a falls count anywhere match, that means I can pin him in the toilet if I want. You know, I can pin him anywhere. If I like my M&Ms with peanuts, I could pin him in a bed and kind of enjoy it. So when you have a street fight, if you're out in the street, you don't say to the other person that you're beating the shit out of, or this, time out. I get into a street fight, I'm going to get my ass kicked, or I'm going to get killed. Why are they tagging out? Why are there tags going on in street fights all of a sudden? Why is WWE suddenly doing this horrible shit? They did it Monday night on Raw with the street fight. Tag in. Drew McIntyre's going to do his claymore. Sheamus tags in. He's going to do his, you know, bro kick. Keith Lee tags in. He's going to do a spirit bomb. It's a fucking street fight in storyline. All three of them doing it at the same time. Do the Claymore bro bomb. So what do we get today? Oney Larkin, Danny Burch versus Killian Dane and Drake Maverick for the tag titles. Ah, ooh! And as soon as the fucking match goes on, I'm seeing tags. I think it should be mandatory that if you have a street fight on TV, there's no commercial breaks. Because street fights, anything can happen at any point. They did commercial breaks twice. This match doesn't warrant two commercial breaks. And I like Drake Maverick, obviously. You know my history. I support the guy big time. But do you ever notice that when Drake Maverick, and I'm a little bit mad, I wanted to bring a belt in here. I wanted to really bring a belt in here and whip myself for a second for like sound purposes. I'll have to use my hand instead. But do you ever notice something about Drake Maverick? Whenever he really is writhing in pain, he turns like he's got half a stroke on his face. Do you ever see that? It happens like 9 out of 10 times. Like you could beat him up and it'll just like, oh. But as soon as like he's really writhing in pain, do you ever see him? He does this. Ah! He did it tonight like 5 times. Ah! What's with the lip? All the time. I did not like that match at all. Seriously. And a lot of you are pointing that out, man. Look, my arm's all red now. You see it? See all the red? But he looks like a white Hobbs. Like Hobbs is always constipated. And Drake Maverick. What is this like? I got to keep my mouth shut. Did not like that match. And I'm saying to myself, WWE, do you realize that you're unimposed tonight? I mean, I know there's hoops going on, but you're pretty much unimposed for wrestling fans. You're getting a lot of AEW fans that are tuning in. And the best you could give them to open up is a street fight where people are tagging themselves in and... Matarazz! Stupid! You do that! So anyway, we knew there was no chance of Killian Dane and Drake Maverick of winning those belts. So basically, you got tags and commercial breaks. Not interested, man. Not interested. Have you noticed the last 2 weeks, that I'm complaining a little more? Believe me, I haven't, tuned into other people's podcasts. I'm like, you should bitch a little bit more. No, it's just... Come on, man, there's unforced errors. Although I will say, when you hear me talk about AEW tomorrow night, AEW, yes, 1 week late, but as you know, as I've covered for the last year or so, AEW has this habit of adding extra weeks to feuds that are totally, totally just, it hurts. It hurts them. When we talk about it tomorrow, I got like this freaking hair in front of my face. What did I do? I went like this, and like hair started flying out. My God. So I don't know how you all felt about it, but man, I'm looking at this. We're 20 minutes in, and I'm like, please, I'll even watch Marco Stunt versus, Hornswoggle. They did the last, I would have tuned into that. I would have watched them wrestle naked. Like, fuck, AEW's not on. I couldn't even watch anything else. Man. So anyway, that's the opening match. Maverick gets hit with the spike DDT. They lose, blah, blah, blah. I praise Pat McAfee and what he did in NXT War Games, but you could see clearly, and the quarter hour ratings show it every time Larkin and Burch are out there, that without McAfee at ringside, or even Pete Dunne, a little bit, that they just are not connecting. I mean, it felt like, okay, I could see Dunn and McAfee giving a little bit of a rub to these two guys. They're uber talented. I mean, they're two of the most talented wrestlers on the roster. But this is World Wrestling Entertainment, where everybody needs to have some type of a personality. Look at Indy Hartwell. I showed you the picture at the beginning. We talked about it for the last couple of weeks. Indy Hartwell, you know, it's like how I was Monday night on Ambien. For any of you out there that looked at the synopsis for Monday's show between 1 a.m. and I think 8 a.m., oh, if you did not look at the synopsis, the timestamps, I should say, oh, you missed a treat. You missed a treat. Monday, I popped an Ambien. Right as soon as the show was over. I didn't realize that, you know, uploading and running this and that, it was going to take a little bit, and it kicked in like this. So right before I fall asleep, I realized, shit, I didn't do the timestamps yet. So I start typing the timestamps, and I brought this up on Patreon last night. I don't know if you remember, what was it, Roseanne Barr, that she Ambien tweet. She posted a tweet while she was under Ambien and made like a horrible joke, and she got kicked off of the Rebirth of Roseanne. There is a legit thing about Ambien tweeting or Ambien writing, because the next day I went back on there just to go over and see, because sometimes you write something as it happens and then you think about something a few hours later and you go back to it and then you realize, okay, I should add this. I went back there. You remember Trump with Covfefe? I think I invented like 9 words on Monday. I spelled something A-B-T-A-A or something. I'm like, I don't even know what I said. There was broken sentences, broken English. You would have thought I was some illegal immigrant that doesn't know how to speak right or anything English. So I fixed it all. But I cannot do that under Ambien anymore. Even though some of you out there did notice, are like, hey, you know, DT, you got to do an episode under like 1 or 2 Ambiens. I'm like, yeah, I don't think that would be a good thing to do on YouTube. But, you know, Indy Hartwell, we were joking that sometimes she's out there and I try, you know, we're in 2020, you got to kind of water things down a little bit. So there are a couple other words that I could use, one beginning with the letter X, that actually ends with the sound of X. It actually ends in the letter X. But, you know, Indy Hartwell sometimes, you know, looks like she just had like 28 milligrams of melatonin. You know, you see her and she's like, oh. And tonight, she did it. Somebody brought it to my attention. She did it. I like Indy Hartwell, man. She's okay. She's talented. Look how red my arm has gotten. You see that? It's all red, man. Hey, you want to see something? Look at this. I don't know if I could show you. Where is it? Yeah. See over there? I was born with these weird birthmarks. I'm convinced that somebody burned me with, you can see here and here and here. I was born with that. I have no idea what that is. I'm not flexing to, I'm just trying to like show, yeah, I was born with weird. Look, it's Christmas, everybody. We're just fucking around a little bit. It's kind of weird to just do an NXT recap, especially when the first hour, other than the Gargano Christmas, you know, the first hour was kind of like bland. I mean, it's interesting that they decided to go with Rhea Ripley, you know, at the beginning of hour two, because she's actually been doing really well on the ratings for main events. But tonight, they decided to bring him back. There you go. Adam Cole versus Velveteen Dream in tonight's main event. Obviously, you're here for a recap. We're not spoiling anything because it already aired. So not only did we get that match in the main event, we got the return of a wrestler who gave, pun intended, retribution to Io Shirai, and that is Mercedes Martinez. She's badass, man. I tell you, Mish and I have been following Mercedes Martinez's career for like 17 years or 18 years. Actually, if you ever go on my Twitter and you see that little banner of me posing with a certain mass wrestler who we cannot reveal, and Tito Santana, that night, that event we went, Mercedes Martinez was on that card. I don't know if it was 2000 and three, but it's like 16, 17 years ago. So she is back, and it looks like, and I'm not saying this to disrespect Mercedes Martinez. I just finished saying I'm a big fan of hers. Always been. But I'm not saying this to disrespect Mercedes Martinez. And I'm not saying this to disrespect Toni Storm. And I'm not saying this to disrespect anybody else that they decide to incorporate in the mix. But it kind of feels like they may be leading to a three-way or a four-way match for Io Shirai's next title defense. And it almost feels like they're doing that because they don't feel any one of these individuals is solid enough as far as ratings or maybe the match quality or maybe the storytelling or maybe just how it's received for a one-on-one. Because remember, Toni Storm and Io Shirai brawled a while back. Mercedes Martinez, I mean, you have Toni Storm cutting a promo earlier tonight that she wants Io Shirai, and then Mercedes Martinez comes out and beats the balls off of Io Shirai. So it almost feels like they don't have someone solid enough to do a one-on-one feud with, so it seems like she's going to be facing multiple people. Yeah, Ken, she's the average height of Raquel Gonzalez, but Mercedes Martinez is badass. I've said it before. I walk down the street in the deserted alley, pitch blackout, and she walked up to me like wearing a hoodie, and she's like, "Give me your fucking money." I would be like, "You know, do you want my gloves too? They're brand new." Or, you know, I have this you know, hidden stash, and you know, can have that too. You know, I would offer her to. I would go mug someone else and give her the stuff too. She's a legit badass. I'm not saying Raquel Gonzalez is not a badass, but Mercedes Martinez is legit. And, you know, look, at this stage of her career, it feels like she's there to, you know, help others. I don't think Io Shirai needs Mercedes Martinez to get elevated more, but you know what? It gives Mercedes Martinez something to do as well. So I am fine with it. Absolutely fine with it. We talked about the opening match already. A very Gargano Christmas. I think we had three parts tonight. The first part was pretty damn funny because basically you had them sitting around a Christmas tree and Austin Theory, I think, is like trying to gnaw on like a gingerbread cookie and Johnny Gargano is, you know, telling them to stop. They had some back and forth banter, and something I think where I think Austin Theory said, "No way, Jose," and Johnny Gargano's like, "You never say those three words in this household." And I had to think for a split second. I'm like, "Yeah, No Way Jose is released from WWE," but it was those segments were funny tonight, absolutely funny, and they give Austin Theory a gift, and I'll tell you, oh, wait, in a day or two, I'm going to post a retro Don Tony pick from about 25 years ago. I found five pictures of me with my bird, Freddie, from about 25 years ago, and wait till you see how I look. There's a side picture, and it looks like I went for surgery and had a big giant like extra glob of hair like sewed into my head. It's like this. It looks like Buster Poindexter. But the reason why I say it is, if you look on the table in the background, that's when I thought I was going to become some like bodybuilder or something. You'll see like whey protein. And it was funny because I found the pictures tonight looking for that Mickey James leg show from 20 years ago. I wanted to give it to Mish for Christmas. And here's some pictures. So during the first segment of the Gargano Christmas celebration, he gives Austin Theory a jar, giant jar, and it's a jar of Gargano whey protein. Anybody that's ever, you know, did any nutritional supplements, you probably know what whey protein is. So I thought it was pretty funny, man. Ken is saying, is it like when Steamboat's head after he took the DDT? No, no, no. Just when I show the picture, I could, you know, I could have just showed it to you like this. You know what? Tomorrow, I'll show it to you like this, but I have to scan them and put it in the computer for the absolute goof effect, because I looked at this and I said, what the hell's wrong with my hair? There's like an extra glob. So 25 years ago, you'll see it. So anyway, so they're talking about Elf on a Shelf. Say that fast 10 times. And Johnny Gargano is on piano. And, you know, it was a funny segment to open up. The second segment, and I might as well jump ahead with these, but the second segment, they give Indy Hartwell, she thought she got a PS5 for Christmas. And she opens it up, and as, you know, her like, it's light. It feels empty. And Johnny Gargano's like, yeah, I gave you the box, you know, for dramatic effects, but, you know, the PS5 is mine. So they don't actually give her a PS5, and it's an empty box, and she's a little bit disappointed. But they say that she's been loyal, and she's earned it, and they have given Indy the family name. And it was funny because throughout the segments, Austin Theory was cursing, and they would make it sound like the Christmas bells, and they would put something over Austin Theory's face. So when they said they were going to give Indy, you know, the family name, you know, Austin Theory's like, oh shit! And now they're calling her Indy Wrestling. Indy, you know, Johnny Wrestling. Now you have Indy Wrestling. And Candice LeRae is like, we believe in you. We believe in indie wrestling. So, you know, it was a little The third segment, Johnny Gargano gives Candice LeRae a beat-up like tire. And it looks like it's from like a Tonka truck. But you realize that it's the tire from the segment where they ran over Shotzi Blackheart's first tank. And Johnny Gargano says he went to the junkyard and found one of the tires. And she loves it and everything. And Austin Theory and all the segments is like trying to acting like he's crying and everything. It was a funny segment. I mean, some of the house segments with Gargano and LeRae really fell flat. You know, and thank God they don't do that Vertigo stuff anymore. Do you remember early this year when they're sitting at the table, like they would go like this and you'd see like 10 frames and it's like, I feel like I'm getting dizzy. They stopped that. Thank God they stopped that, man. But I thought tonight the Gargano Christmas segments was spot on. It's Christmas. Gotta feel like it's Christmas. I'm surprised that it didn't make the street fight like Monday night, which, you know, with more like Christmas brutality theme to it. And man, those tagging in and out, I don't know. I just can't understand somebody in a creative meeting in WWE like, you know, how can we shake up these matches a little bit, you know, add a little bit. I got it. You know, in a street fight, you'll tag out. That's almost like saying, I got an idea. How's about we have a DQ in an ODQ match? Whatever they're smoking, give me a carton, please. Give me a carton. Oh, Kevon Lewis. So did AEW start yet? Brian Cage versus Darby Allin for the TNT title, January 6th. Okay. All right. We'll talk about that tomorrow. AEW's tomorrow. Talk about that tomorrow. So what else we got tonight? Oh. Malcolm Bivens in the back. Cutting a promo. He's with Tyler. Don't say I have ring rust. Tyler Rust. And the fuck you come up with the last name Rust? Rust. Like Malcolm Bivens called him a diamond. And I thought about it and I'm like, okay, I could see with Leon Ruff, if Malcolm Bivens scouted Leon Ruff and said that he's a diamond. And then I could see Leon Ruff having a finish maneuver called Diamond in the Rough. Oh, that's genius. So Tyler Rust, when he says, oh, he's a diamond, I'm like, Diamond Rust? Diamond Rust? I don't know, man. But, you know, speaking of no DQ, shout out to Ken terminated by DQ. You know, I never knew these whole story as to why you call yourself that, but now I know the story that you were terminated by no DQ. So anyway, we get Isaiah Swerve Scott next against Jake Atlas. You remember Jake Atlas defeating Isaiah Swerve Scott not too long ago? And Scott trying to be a little bit heelish, didn't want to shake Jake Atlas's hand. Well, remember the promo that has stuck with me with Jake Atlas that he said not too long ago? Yeah, I've said on my shows for 20 years, if you take a step back, always try to get two steps forward. You know, you don't ever want to do one step forward, two steps back. So because you got to overthink and you got to change everything instead of just using common sense phrases, they have Jake Atlas say in a promo when he won that match a couple of weeks ago, you know, I take three steps back, but one giant step forward. I take three steps back and one giant step forward. So if you follow that dumb mentality, then everything tonight was perfect on plan. Jake Atlas shouldn't have been upset. Because you take three steps back and one giant step forward. So if your win a couple of weeks ago was a giant step forward, then it's only appropriate that you have three steps back. So he lost today. He lost today. But there was one spot that I really enjoyed. There was one point where Jake Atlas tried to go for the, I wrote it down, the avalanche poison rana, the reverse hurricane rana. He hooked Isaiah Swerve Scott's arms. Instead of, like, if you remember, like, especially when Mysterio used to do it, Hoovy and others, you know, when we first started seeing it in the mid-90s in the United States. I mean, we saw it before then, but really saw it all the time with the when the wrestlers from Mexico went to WCW. But, you know, they would always, like, it looked like they hooked the person's head, and then they would flip over. If you watch the spot again and only focus on Isaiah Swerve Scott, all he did was just flip backwards and land on his feet. But when you have Jake Atlas, and that's why, like I say, some people that you see wrestle in NXT, you may not connect with and you may not think they're all that, you know, spectacular. But the one thing that you really cannot take away from NXT more than AEW, and I don't blame AEW because AEW is showcasing young talents. Young talents that, you know, if those same talents like the Acclaimed, Private Party, Top Flight, if they were in NXT, you probably would rarely ever see them. You probably would see them on the NXT house shows, which we've talked about for years. Or they would get a little opportunity here and there, but they would nowhere near get the amount of offense that they would get. So I give credit to AEW for, you know, showcasing them a little bit earlier because fans seem to enjoy it. But say what you want about some NXT wrestlers. And I know a lot of you out there are not big on Jake Atlas at all. WWE is not giving you any reason to. I say it for the 10th time. They missed the boat. Jake Atlas should have turned heel and turned on Drake Maverick when he was fighting for his wrestling career in that tournament. Many, 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 many months ago, it would have been nuclear. They just let it go. They didn't do it. But Jake Atlas is a good guy. So anyway, my point is, you know, when you see that spot tonight, say what you want about some of the guys that you really don't connect with, but their timing is spot fucking on. You could tell that. I mean, you see a lot of interviews and you see some of the behind the scenes stuff. I mean, they, you know, more than anything else, you see that segment tonight with Boa and Xia Li, you know, I mean, obviously that's like almost to the level of torture, but WWE will instill timing more than anything else. And unfortunately, there'll be some people out there that no matter how hard they try, they'll never get the timing down perfect. I don't want to pick out anybody's names, but You know, you could think of some that are even on Raw, Dana Brooke. Did you hear something? But anyway, you know, you look at some people on the main roster, and they've been wrestling on the main roster for a couple of years, Dana Brooke, and their timing is just, you know, they'll never get it, you know. So anyway, so they had a decent match. It ended quick. Isaiah Swerve Scott gets the win, and he's kind of rubbing it in Jake Atlas's face. He's like, come on, shake my hand, shake my hand. And Jake Atlas is like, you know, not bad with the mouth, like Maverick, but, you know, he's just like, he's like, fuck you, you know? Eh, shake my hand, shake my hand. I mean, he obviously didn't curse, but am I right? Am I right? A couple of you are saying that. I'm telling you, I'm actually liking Isaiah Swerve Scott being a little bit of a dick. He's doing a podcast now, and I don't know if you've ever checked out his podcast. I actually checked it out twice, some of his work, and you could see that the attitude and some of the way he talks on the podcast, they're kind of turning it into his character. And I like it. I like the trolling. I like the trolling. Like I said, you know, I don't like trolls, and I don't like trolling people. But once in a while, a good troll is, you know, it's kind of like you eat steak all the time, you eat grass-fed burgers, organic meat. You know, once in a blue moon, you just want to go to White Castle and down like 10 White Castle sliders. I mean, you just, that's just the way it is, you know? So, Isaiah Swerve Scott gets the win. Jake Atlas, I guess this is one of the three steps backward that, whoa, is this stupid? Velveteen Dream, as I said earlier, what happened was Adam Cole was in the back and being interviewed talking about Kyle O'Reilly versus Finn Balor, which is coming up quickly. It's coming up quickly. 2 weeks. It's coming up quickly. And remember, Finn Balor, when he has that match, it'll be officially 13 and a half weeks since he defended that title last. But they're talking about Kyle O'Reilly, and here comes Velveteen Dream. And Velveteen Dream, it looked like, if you look at it, it looks like he's got a shower cap over his head. You know, I know it's not. I know, you know, I forget what it's called. Maybe someone in the chat room could help me. Obviously, you know, I'm not experienced in that, but I have a friend of mine that has dreads and he wears something like that. But with Velveteen Dream, you know, and I got news for you. The fact he was wearing that, you know, it's his whole prima donna thing. A bonnet. Okay, that's what you call it? I never asked, but Benjamin is saying WWE shortboard a lot of time for Balor. Yeah, yeah. I still remember when he first broke it, and I remember being on the shows and seeing a lot of people out there saying, oh, and you did it 3 weeks, 2 to 3 weeks. You know, it's not like a muscle. Like Triple H came back in a week. I'm exaggerating here, or John Cena. A broken bone in the jaw, there's nothing you can do. There's no magic bone glue. You know, there's cement, but it's still, you know, like I said, even like here, you see these? Like I said, I got a three-tooth bridge early in the year, right before COVID. And this tooth here, okay? I promise you, I'm not going to back to the old Don Tony stories and going off topic, but this kind of has to do with Balor. This tooth, I already told the story when I was like 8 years old. I was playing in the basement with my friend. We had a dartboard, pool table, pinball machine, whole game room down there. And he pretended to throw a dart, and I ducked. And the pool table was underneath, and I ducked, and my mouth hit the pool table and cracked his tooth right in half. So about 25 years ago, they put a screw up into my bone, and then they put a fake tooth up there. And I had that for 25 years. After 25 years, your mouth shifts and changes a little bit, and I had to take it out. And when the guy, my dentist, started telling me about taking it out, he's like, look, you know, we could do a three-tooth bridge, or we could put another screw up there. I chose to go with the bridge. So there's nothing holding this tooth up. It's because it's part of a three-tooth bridge. Here's my point with Balor. All they did the opposite. They took a screw out. They took the screw out. And they said to me, they're like, look, that bone up here has to heal. They can't put in the bridge until this heals. And it was about 2 to 3 months. So when you have, whether a screw goes in or a screw goes out, it still has to heal, and it just has to heal on its own. So Finn Balor, we pretty much said it was going to be 2 to 3 months at minimum. And, you know, NXT, man, they kept the belt on him. I mean, that just, look, we all obviously love Finn Balor's work. And because it's Finn Balor, we kind of like, all right, okay. But that was Brock Lesnar shit. That's Brock Lesnar shit. If you were going to do that, then there was no reason to take the title off of Karrion Kross. Because Karrion Kross, you know, he was out, you know, for a decent amount of time as well. But they insisted the next day. Nope, next day. Put it in the middle of the ring. William Regal, he wasn't even in the ring to take the title from Kross. He just had to leave it there. But Balor, 13 and a half weeks. So anyway, Dream shows up, run a little bad mouth to Cole. Remember that parking lot brawl that they had that was fucking awesome? So there's obviously a history of bad blood there. Adam Cole slaps Dream right in the face. Sunglasses go flying, you know, and he calls him a freaking moron. So we realize we're getting that match tonight. Timothy Thatcher cuts a promo on Tommaso Ciampa. He tells Tommaso Ciampa that he's facing Leon Ruff tonight. And he's going to take liberties with Leon Ruff. And he dared Tommaso Ciampa to come out to ringside and stop him. So we're getting a match tonight between Leon Ruff and Tommaso Ciampa. I know I'm going a little one step ahead, but based on this photo, can you tell me or predict what the outcome was with that match? He's got the look on that match that if my fiance, you know, doesn't have her time in a month, that'll be the look on my face Christmas night. Hopefully, I didn't get her too many gifts. We're in the middle of COVID. Money's kind of tight. That's the look, and I think that's the look a lot of you want on your face, especially if there's mistletoe. So Leon Ruff gets the win, and Tommaso Ciampa is pissed off. You know, Ruff with the inside cradle. Thatcher hits him from behind. Ciampa comes out and hits the Willow's Bell, and he tells Thatcher he's going to see him in the fight pit. That is going to happen in 2 weeks at New Year's Evil. So I tell you, man, I tell you, I remember, and I know you all remember, not too long ago, people online, from podcasters to bloggers to regular wrestling fans, you remember the wise-ass remark about NXT?
NXT can only win when they have gimmicks. NXT can only have great ratings when they have these gimmicks like Halloween Havoc. You can only, it's got, oh, by the way, we're going to announce the winner in Halloween Havoc. Remember that picture? Oh, this. Tonight, I forgot, we're going to give this away tonight. It is signed by everybody you see on there. Damian Priest, Johnny Wrestling, Rhea Ripley, Raquel Gonzalez, Cameron Grimes, Dexter Lumis, Io Shirai, Candice LeRae, and Shotzi Blackheart. This is straight from WWE, so you know it's 1,000% legit. We're giving that away tonight. Christmas. Giving that away tonight. But, you know, these goofs online, with all due respect, I don't mean it personal on these people, but if they blew themselves up in a match, if they wrestled in a pool, if you enjoy it, so what? So what? NXT doesn't do pay-per-views every single month. You know what? And I never had the opportunity to say this, because I'll be honest with you. When I do both recaps in the same night, I get brain farts during the show, and I forget a lot of things. But I'm going to say something now, that if any of you out there ever comes across any of those people that do that shit, oh, you see New Year's Evil? The only way NXT can win the ratings is if they do this gimmick stuff and others they did like they did.
Just tell them three words. Tell them three words. Actually, you could tell them, yeah, tell them three words. But make sure you put NWA or WCW before what you're about to say. Every time a reject makes that joke, they can't win on just regular NXTs. They got to have these special events. That's the only way. All you say to them is Clash of Champions. Clash of Champions. WCW. NWA. We would get those special cards. Free fucking TV. And we loved it. And we enjoyed it. Nobody gave a shit about ratings. The ratings weren't even that great because they usually happen, if I recall, on a Saturday night. So whatever these rejects say, just tell them, yeah, but what about WCW and NWA with the Clash of Champions? That was free TV. And those were special events. And those were hyped up like little pay-per-views that were free. And just watch them crawl into a ball. Or they'll say, yeah, this is 2020. Or they'll say something like, well, WWF was not going up against him on Saturday nights. If you enjoy it, that's what matters. So this card for 2 weeks from now is really starting to get turned into something special. And I hope WWE does a New Year's Evil edition of this, because I will get it. Because some of those people that are going to be featured on New Year's Evil that were not on this, that's going to be nice. Get Finn Balor's autograph, Kyle O'Reilly's, Karrion Kross, Damian Priest, Rhea Ripley, Raquel Gonzalez, Timothy Thatcher, Tommaso Ciampa. That's pretty damn good lineup so far. And there's more names to be added. Should we give the contest away now? Should we give it away now? Why not? Let's give it away now. I will play it again tomorrow. So everybody tomorrow that's not tuning in tonight could see the winner. What I did, as I always do, 2 weeks ago when we did Wednesday Night Dynamite, anybody that posted a comment on that episode was automatically entered in the contest. And then what I do, you know, every two weeks, right before I go live here, I use a program and it picks someone random and I screen capture it. So you know there's no way to manipulate it. There's no way to finagle it. Whoever gets selected, gets selected. I have had two occasions over the last 6 months where people never claim their prizes. And, you know, one of them was a money prize. And I ended up giving it to the second, you know, we ran the contest again. But, yeah, here comes the goofy music with it. At least you don't get to see me while that goofy music is playing, because I'm in the background like, not Teddy Long. I could never do that Teddy Long thing. I could never do it. Look at me. By the way, cool Andre the Giant shirt, right? Dre, Dr. Dre. I love that shirt. Andre the Giant brings me good luck. We'll give you good luck. So anyway, here's the winner. Here's the winner. And congratulations to this person. Let's cue this up. Here we go. Carlos, congratulations, my friend.
Now I get your address. Send me your address.
Now you DM me, email me, dontony@dontony.com, and I will send you out your prize. Congratulations. If you get in touch with me, you know what? I'm going to have to do it this weekend after Christmas. I can only imagine all the people that are going to be in the post office tomorrow. Talk about COVID scares. Go to the post office the day before Christmas. If you overnighted something tomorrow, they wouldn't get it till Christmas, the day after Christmas. But just imagine what the post offices look like tomorrow. Ho-ho! You have, oh, man. So, no, I don't have YouPorn. No, there's no YouPorn. It was Mohegan Sun, the casino game. I don't watch porn during the day. Porn. I swear that God on the truth, I have my sites that I go to, like Pornhub and others, but I don't even know that there's a website called YouPorn, Guardian of Cast. It was not rigged. It's not rigged. And I got news for you. I will start doing them live if you want. I'll start doing them live. The only reason why I do it earlier is because it's easier for me to prep everything. Like tomorrow when we do the AEW recap, there's 1 3-minute clip that I wanted to bring up when we get into one particular topic. But I tell you what, since money's tight right now and since Trump vetoed that stimulus thing, and a lot of people are not getting that $600 stimulus check next week, why don't we do a cash prize this time around? Should we do one $100 prize or should we do two $50 prizes? I'll give you all the choice. So we'll give away $100 in 2 weeks. All you got to do is post a comment on tonight's episode. And if you notice, I don't bring up the contest like Friday, or if there was a show Friday, or Monday, or next Wednesday, because only the people that truly tune in, you know, that know about it, those are the people I want to see win. You know, I don't want to mention it on one of the other episodes and then like, oh, let me go back to that episode and just type a random comment in there. So, all right, well, you guys in the chat, you vote. All right, so a bunch of you saying two. All right, so in 2 weeks, we'll give away two $50 prizes. I like to do either Amazon e-gift card, PayPal, or money order. I think it's the easiest way to do it. So 2 weeks, we'll do that. You know the deal. Just post a comment in tonight's episode. You know, in fact, you know what we'll do? I just figured it out. Tomorrow, I have the AEW recap. They obviously should be included in on the contest as well. So one person from this is the first time you actually have two chances to win. One person from this video tonight will pick a winner in 2 weeks. And then one person from tomorrow's video, the AEW recap, will pick that in 2 weeks. So if you post a comment on each one, you have a possibility of winning both. And if you win both, God bless you. Seriously. So we're at the 54-minute mark. So I want to start wrapping this up. By the way, next week, NXT is doing their year-end awards. I have the categories here. I'm not going to do predictions tonight because, number one, it's too much to get into. I'll do it Monday with Mish because I think Mish would like to be part of this as well. But next week, they're doing the year-end awards. Now, I'm not talking about the Slammy Awards tonight. I will talk about them on Monday. But as I predicted, and a lot of you as well, WWE chose some people simply because to fit their character and their push and to try to, I mean, I don't want to get into specific topics, but there were some picks today that some people are like, the fuck out of here. So you know that this is not, you know, really based on merit and who deserves it. But I truly feel that when we see the NXT year-end awards next week, I think NXT is going to treat these awards a lot different than WWE treated the Slammys today. I think almost everybody that wins an award next week, I think a lot of you out there almost unanimously are going to say, okay, yeah, I'm cool with that. There was some Slammy Award winners today that people like, fuck out of here. You kidding me? Although I did say, Bayley, did you see everybody tweeting today? Oh, Bayley's going to start doing what Owen Hart does. I've been saying that for 3-4 weeks now. I told you, Bayley was going to win two Slammys and she's going to walk it. She already posed doing it. Saw that a mile away. But I will give you the categories and the nominees tonight so you could digest that a little bit. And then Monday, Mish and I will do some predictions with that. Yeah, who's that? The Slammys were on today on the WWE Network. And I think it might be on YouTube as well. I have not had a chance to watch them yet, but I am going to view it, you know, before Monday, and I will, you know, give my thoughts with Mish. We'll get into that. But so anyway, let's get back to today. Damian Priest cutting a promo, hyping up his match with Karrion Kross. Basically, Damian Priest's promo is, you know, he doesn't think that Karrion Kross is as badass as he says he is, and he's going to punk out Karrion Kross at New Year's Evil. Karrion Kross cuts a promo tonight basically saying, you know, I'm going to get that title back, the one that I never lost. Perfect. Perfect. The promo tonight was spot on because we all felt that just storyline purposes, and it makes sense, Karrion Kross, when he came in, there was only one thing he wanted. Well, he beat the balls off of Ciampa, but he wanted the title. So today, he basically says, Damian Priest, you take shots at me, you take shots at my woman, I'm going to kick your fucking ass. Oh, I'm still going for the title. I mean, I'm ad-libbing here, but Karrion Kross is like, no, I'm still going for the title. I didn't forget about that. But for now, I feel like beating this shit out of you. So New Year's Evil is going to be fun. It's going to be fun because in 3 years from now, those two guys might be really, really important on the main roster. I shouldn't even say might. They will. You know, Damian Priest, you know he has it. And Karrion Kross has it as well. They just, Damian Priest needs to, you know, just do a little bit more to put it together. And Karrion Kross just needs one thing. And don't say Scarlett. Yes, we know Scarlett as well. Karrion Kross needs one thing that will get him not only to the promised land, but beyond it. He needs one thing, and that is time. Time. Impact Wrestling career, doesn't matter. The little bit of work he did in Lucha Underground, doesn't matter. What matters is now and what's going on now. And remember, like I said, when Keith Lee went to the main roster and when Dijakovic, T-Bar went to the main roster, it's not easy to have fight forever chance on NXT and then 6 months later on the main roster, you only get to do 3-4 moves or you don't get to do the things that you want or you can in NXT. It is a totally different side. Sure, their core repertoire remains, but you put Keith Lee against Dijakovic in NXT, then you put Keith Lee against The Miz on Raw, Keith Lee is not wrestling the same arsenal. And it's not because, well, Miz doesn't get. No, it's not that. It's just, it's a totally different style. So what you love about Karrion Kross right now, what you love about Damian Priest right now, what you love about some of the others right now, on the main roster, it will be tweaked. For some people, it works out just fine. Kevin Owens, you look back at some of his NXT matches, and you'll be like, wow, I haven't seen that move in a while. Wow, he doesn't do that anymore. Holy shit, I didn't know he could do that. Wow, that's unbelievable. Why doesn't he do that now? And then you realize, well, it's because of the main roster. They water it down because they want to prolong their careers. You know, some of these people could go balls out, but then their career might be cut short 5 years or so. So I'm looking forward to Karrion Kross versus Damian Priest. And just like I said a couple of weeks ago, Rhea Ripley and Charlotte, I'm telling you, I have the same vibes about Rhea Ripley now that I did with Charlotte when she was in NXT, about 6 months to a year before Charlotte went to the main roster. Yes, Rhea Ripley hasn't had a great 2020. WWE hasn't put her in, you know, some positions that we thought she would be, but the fact that WWE has not treated Rhea Ripley all that well this year, and she's popping those quarter-hour ratings that she does consistently. And she, I'm telling you, I think Rhea Ripley is going to, maybe not on the level of Charlotte, and I've said this before, but Rhea Ripley is gonna skyrocket on that main roster when it happens. Rhea Ripley is a star, absolutely. And I got news for you. I am very happy that the Donzilla Army, not just myself, but a lot of you out there, majority of you out there, have caught on to Raquel Gonzalez over the last couple of months. I didn't look at the categories yet. When I read them, I'm going to read it with you. But if they have like a, you know, breakout star, And if Raquel Gonzalez is on, not on that list, I won't even cover it on Monday. She has just come out of nowhere. Because you remember when she first was in the corner of Dakota Kai? Sonya Deville left. And I'm guilty of saying that too. She reminded me of Sonya Deville. Nobody thought much of anything with her. And she doesn't come off as Dakota Kai's bodyguard anymore. She comes off as a legitimate contender. And Raquel Gonzalez, you know, there's a lot of dark spots of 2020. Raquel Gonzalez is definitely one of the bright spots, as in Io Shirai. You go down the list, AEW, WWE, NXT, especially those. If you want to add Impact Wrestling a little bit, by all means. There was some pretty damn good bright spots for 2020. Impact Wrestling, we'll talk about it next week, but they did the first half of their year-end awards. Obviously, they're going to pretty much choose everybody who's still on the main roster, but, you know, I think they chose Deonna Purrazzo as Wrestler of the Year for them. Not just Knockout of the Year, but Wrestler of the Year. You know, some people thought maybe Moose or somebody else, but you know what? Deonna Purrazzo, WWE had her, and I think they kind of regret, unless they just feel, okay, let Impact Wrestling bring it to the moon, then we'll take it back, you know? So anyway, Latin Lover, tuning in right now from Southwest Detroit. Doesn't even watch wrestling anymore, but loves tuning into the shows. Much love, my friend. Much love. Southwest Detroit. By the way, for all you old school hip-hop rap from back in the day, the lead rapper of Houdini died today. I haven't even looked to see. I mean, I remember, you know, when they first came out with that album, you know, The Freaks Come Out at Night and Big Mouth and Friends. You know, how many of you out there go to a party and you hear everybody drinking, they're like, Friends, how many of us have them? They probably have no clue where that originally came from. And on Monday, I'll tell you a funny growing up Don Tony story with me and the first ever song that I ever rapped to at Great Adventure was put on cassette. I don't have the cassette anymore, but it was a Houdini song. Houdini wasn't spectacular, but I saw him at Fresh Fest 84. Fresh Fest 84. I saw them in live in person. So they were pretty good. You know, they got caught up with all the other huge stars at that time. But at some points, they were pretty up there. Pretty up there. So anyway, let's wrap this up. Aria Daivari losing to Tyler Rust. Very quick match. This was to showcase Tyler Rust. He basically puts the arm submission on Daivari, and Daivari taps out. I tell you, I have no problem with Malcolm Bivens being the manager for Tyler Rust. But you look at Tyler Rust's arsenal, what he did tonight to Daivari, and you say to yourself, I know Timothy Thatcher is not playing manager, but Timothy Thatcher was the perfect quote-unquote manager for Tyler Rust. Again, I have no problem with Malcolm Bivens, because the storyline, he spots talent. But if you see the way he works, Timothy Thatcher, perfect for that role. They don't want to go that route. And that's okay. That's okay. So next week, we have Leon Ruff versus Johnny Gargano for the NXT North American title. It's not happening in New Year's Evil, which is interesting. So makes me wonder, you know, what clusterfuck are we going to have Monday, next Wednesday with that. We have the year-end awards next week. Next week also, we will have, because of what went down tonight in the main event, we will have Pete Dunne taking on Roderick Strong next week. Solid, solid match I'm looking forward to. The main event tonight, Adam Cole versus Velveteen Dream. You basically had Roderick Strong come out and Pete Dunne attacks him from behind. And during the Cole Dream match tonight, they announced that Dunne and Roderick Strong will face each other next week. Again, not a match at New Year's Evil, but I know you're probably thinking what I'm thinking right now. Pete Dunne needs to be on New Year's Evil. Roderick Strong should be on New Year's Evil as well. So maybe something happens in that match next week, and as a result, there's a stipulation attached to it, and that happens at New Year's Evil. But I tell you, like I said before, especially if they do another, you know, like the print like this, and they do one for New Year's Evil, especially, and I guarantee you, the more I think about it, they're definitely going to do one. You see how it was hosted by Shotzi Blackheart? She's up there, and she signed it and everything. They're going to do the same thing with Dexter Lumis. And by the way, I know I've showed it to you once before, but I got, wait. What did I just do here? I just changed the color accidentally. Let me see if I can zoom into this a little bit. Yeah. Check out Dexter Lumis's autograph. See it on the bottom? He takes the L and he runs it all the way across and he just prints it. And the S looks like a number 5. That's Dexter Lumis's autograph. So I like Dexter Lumis. I hope he starts selling some of that artwork. Let's get that out of here. And I got to mention another match and something else to happen tonight. I didn't forget, but let's just talk about, you know, the matches set up for next week. Basically, Adam Cole and Velveteen Dream, typical match that we've seen them have before. But in the beginning, Roderick Strong attacked by Pete Dunne. That sets up the match for next week. And yeah, I like the autograph. Pretty cool. I'm telling you, Dexter Lumis, and I got screenshots, by the way, of what he drew tonight. I will show you in a minute. So they had a great match. And by the way, tonight's show here started 10:10. It usually started 10:05. What I noticed tonight with USA Network is they had NXT scheduled to air until 10:08. So they knew that NXT was going 8 minutes over. It went off the air at exactly 10:08, and it was live. So I got to pay attention next week at the USA Network and the time they have listed for when they go off the air. But Adam Cole and Velveteen Dream, typical match that we've seen before when they were feuding. The very end, which was a lot of fun, you had Velveteen Dream nail Adam Cole with a really nice super kick. And then Velveteen Dream climbs the top rope, gets nailed with Adam Cole's super kick. And then Adam Cole with the last call, really knees to the face of Velveteen Dream for the win. We go off the air with Adam Cole. And Adam Cole basically saying in 2 weeks, the NXT Heavyweight Championship comes back home to the Undisputed Era. So, you know, we'll see. You know, because there's a couple of people that have yet to be announced for New Year's Evil. And I really would like to see some of these guys that have not been announced yet. Now, something else that happened today. Toni Storm, as I said earlier, cut a promo that she wants Io Shirai for the NXT Women's Championship. After Toni Storm cut her promo, Io Shirai is in the back. And Io Shirai tells the backstage guy, hit my music. Io Shirai comes to the ring. She got a chair and she wants to confront Toni Storm. Out of nowhere comes Mercedes Martinez. And Mercedes Martinez, look, the attack started a little bit slow. Once it got outside the ring, it got very, very physical very, very quickly. And Mercedes Martinez did a number on Io Shirai. Threw into the bottom of the NXT announcers table and the bottom kind of caved in a little bit. You could see that Io Shirai was going to like roll into the announcers table, but the area where her head was didn't push in all the way. So she kind of like turned into it and the thing's like, nope, nope. What is that? Like, I am the table? Tonight was I am the announcers table. But Ken, I'm enjoying Toni Storm as a heel. She's coming off as this cocky prima donna heel. Oh, man. And her outfit tonight, I should have took a screenshot of it. I know she's worn that before, but Toni Storm, man, she's got a presence about her. I like the arrogant Toni Storm. Absolutely love it. Love it. So, once again, Mercedes Martinez beats the balls off of Io Shirai. Tony Storm wants Io Shirai. So, you know what? We'll probably have something happen next week with Tony Storm and Mercedes Martinez. Can you picture it already? Tony Storm's music hits, and she wants to challenge Io Shirai. She's interrupted by Mercedes Martinez, who also wants a shot at Io Shirai. Her music's she's interrupted by Raquel Gonzalez, who wants a match with Io Shirai. And then William Regal comes out, and he'll say whatever he's going to say. Yeah, I know a lot of you like Tony Storm's, but I'm not stupid. I'm not blind to it as well. She's thick. I like that. I like that. But she backs it up in the ring as well. Now, something else tonight. We have Rhea Ripley taking on Dakota Kai. Fun match. We've seen them brawl before. Nothing out of the ordinary. It was one thing I didn't like. The stipulation was Raquel Gonzalez was banned from ringside. So towards the end of the match, Raquel Gonzalez comes out on the rampway, but she's all the way in the back, which is fine. And Rhea Ripley has a submission move, a leg submission on Dakota Kai. And you can see Rhea Ripley like positioning herself so she's facing directly to the back. And then she spots, she crosses eyes with, locks eyes, I should say, with Raquel Gonzalez. And Rhea Ripley's telling her, come to the ring, come to the ring. And Raquel Gonzalez is just like this, like, you know, blah, 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 blah. And Raquel Gonzalez is they're trying to bait her to come to the ring, but she won't come to the ring. And basically, Rhea Ripley, maybe about a minute after, defeats Dakota Kai. So what I did not like, and anybody that ever follows my regular shows, you probably thought of this, but the match is over. Okay, match is over. Raquel Gonzalez comes down to the ring, and she starts walking down the ringside, and you get four or five referees that I think are almost smaller than Marco Stunt. They all look about the same size, and Raquel Gonzalez just like shoves one away, like, get out of here. It's almost like what Big E did with Sami Zayn with that slammy, the Zammy Award from last week, the Sammy Award. But Raquel Gonzalez starts coming down to the ringside area, and you get five referees come out, and first of all, why would you hold her back? The match is already over. She's no longer barred from ringside. That's number one. When Mercedes Martinez started doing what she was doing, where did all these referees go? Did they go for a smoke break? I mean, where did they go? Were they all peeing with each other in the bathroom? Was there only one stall and they all had to go at the same time? They couldn't hold it? But Raquel Gonzalez starts walking down the rampway, and they come out, and they basically did to her what I used to make fun of, what they used to do with Randy Orton. How many of you remember when Randy Orton was doing his stuff to Matt Hardy and others, and you'd have all these referees come out of ringside, and they would just like, they wouldn't touch him. They'd be like, no, Randy, no, no, Randy, no. That's what they did tonight with Raquel Gonzalez. You have five referees come out, and they're like, no, Raquel, no. I think one referee might have even said Reno or something, but like, no, Raquel, no. And then she hits the ring. And then we're supposed to believe that 75 officials can't split them up. You had all these referees with these pull-aparts. I'm sorry. This was not like Brock and Undertaker. And it doesn't even need to be that high caliber. It just fell flat. And the more that they broke apart, the stupider it got. Because I think even Wade Barrett said, look, the NXT producers are out there. What nationality? I don't even know what imitation that was, but I got some bad news. You know, the producers are out there, and they're trying to hold them back. And Rhea Ripley, she just dives over like with the stinger splash. It looks so corny, man. It looks so corny, especially when some of the... Because, look, I can understand. When you're a male official and you're trying to break up two women fighting, you know, you got to also be careful. You don't want to accidentally, when pulling someone back, that you go, like, you're like, you know what I mean? Like, you try to do this, you try to do this, you try to do this, or you go, no, Raquel, no, no. So you don't want to accidentally, like, I get it, but it looks so hokey. They had, like, 20 officials out there, and they're just, like, breaking apart and throwing people around. I'm like, please, man. It just, it was not needed. It was not needed. But a short time after, we see Dexter Lumis drawing in the back. And we didn't know what he was drawing at first, but then we got a little bit of a closer view of it, and he was drawing this. At New Year's Evil, we are going to get Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Gonzalez in a last woman standing match. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool, man. I'm looking forward to it, you know? So let's see. Yeah, there we go. All right. I love his artwork, man. I know Jerry the King Waller is an amazing artist, but man, I fucking love Dexter Lumis's artwork. He is so goddamn talented. But yes, we will have Raquel Gonzalez versus Rhea Ripley at New Year's Eve, last woman standing match. It's going to be awesome. I like it, man. I'm looking forward to it. So, that is your NXT recap today. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. The first hour fell kind of flat for me. And I honestly think that first hour's rating is going to be quite disappointing. In fact, if NXT has a disappointing rating in a lot of people's eyes, it's going to be at the fault of the first hour. The first three quarters, I think, are definitely underperformed. The second hour, it definitely picked up. Velveteen Dream, Adam Cole was very good. Raquel Gonzalez having that pull apart with Rhea Ripley was kind of corny, but I could see people staying glued to it because train wrecks, you sometimes can't look the other way. You know, the Rhea Ripley Dakota Kai match was fine. All the other stuff was a little bit fluff, but the Gargano Christmas segments were fun. And they also, they did have a video package of Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor hyping up their match as well. So I think they did a really good job tonight building up to New Year's Evil. I just don't understand why for most of the first hour, nothing against the people who competed, but you're unopposed. I get it. You want to have this storyline with Jake Atlas and Isaiah Swerve Scott, but you're unopposed and you got year-end awards next week and you got New Year's Evil in 2 weeks. You could save that for next week. They should have done something else. And look, if they do that next week where multiple people come out and they want Io Shirai, even if Raquel Gonzalez comes out and she wants Io Shirai, I could see Rhea Ripley coming out there and beating the shit out of Raquel Gonzalez because of the last woman standing match. So, but I think it'll probably be a three-way or a four-way. It's either going to, I see Toni Storm, Mercedes Martinez versus Io Shirai, or maybe they add a fourth person. Obviously not Raquel because she's in the last woman standing match. Now, before I get out of here, and if you notice, I did not predict a rating. It's unopposed. I mean, if you want to force me to give you a rating, people are saying anything under 900,000 is a disappointment. I honestly think NXT is going to have a hard time breaking 8. That first hour hurt them. I wouldn't be surprised if NXT scores, I don't know, I'll say 8-11. I'll be generous and say 8-11. And that's unopposed. I would even say 787. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near what people think it's going to be. I'm going to stay with 787. So, yeah, Michael Gonzalez, man, if it hits 625, I mean, that's where I would love to see the quarter hours to see who fucked him up with the ratings. So anyway, like I said, we'll do predictions on Monday. Let me read you the categories and the nominees for the NXT year-end awards. Digest this a little bit. Think about it. If you want to join us on Monday, we will have a discussion. And definitely chime in with how you feel out of it. I don't want to forget about Ken. He says, Aaron Rift is okay, but he didn't get kicked out. Wait, you told me a while back that you got booted out of no DQ. And that's why you got terminated. But so you don't have to super chat it. But you got to send me the story about that, man. Like I said, I like Aaron Rift as well. But I think I didn't like the little bit of clickbaiting he did, especially with Lars. I thought that was really, really tacky. Just expressing my opinion. I told you that you didn't have to do that, but, okay. Sam's not in the chat. Sam is probably a huge AEW mark. And look, I respect him as a fan, but some of you out there are probably like, yay, called him a mark. I don't think he's really a mark. Hey, I'm a mark for wrestling. I admit it. I mean, I think we're all marks for wrestling. Right now, I'm a mark for Indy Hartwell for doing that. I love it. By the way, it's not pajamas. That's a Michael Myers Halloween shirt. Few people thought I was wearing pajamas. So did it look that bad? You know why? I buttoned it all the way to the top. I didn't want my hairy chest to be hanging out. So anyway, like I said, digest this a little bit. We'll talk about it on Monday. And, we'll compare our choices. Breakout star of the year. Okay, Raquel Gonzalez is on the list. I swear to you, I did not look at these before. Soulfly says I looked stoned because I was imitating Indy Hartwell. I said, if you look at her sometimes, she'll be look like she's in a day. She'll be like, and she did the exact pose tonight. I loved it. Loved it. Put a smile on my face. Last week, I got Karrion Kross beat the shit out of Denzel DeJournette. And this week, Indy Hartwell does the zombie pose. Come on. It's awesome. And I got to see more of Dexter Lumis's artwork as well. Breakout star of the year. The choices are, hold your comments till Monday. Because I'm looking at some of these choices right now. I'm like, really? Really? Pat McAfee. All right. I see, I'm getting tempted. See, Pat McAfee didn't do enough. Shouldn't be on that list. But anyway, I'll reserve it for Monday. Breakout star of the year. Pat McAfee, Damian Priest, Shotzi Blackheart. That's not a bad choice. Cameron Grimes, Dexter Lumis, Timothy Thatcher, Raquel Gonzalez, Santos Escobar, and Ilja Dragunov. Rivalry of the year. Adam Cole versus Pat McAfee. Candice LeRae versus Io Shirai. Damian Priest versus Johnny Gargano. Dexter Lumis versus Cameron Grimes. Shotzi Blackheart versus Robert Stone. Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Gonzalez. Walter versus... and I know I always pronounce his name wrong, but, Ilja Dragunov. Kaylee Ray versus Piper Nevin. As you can see, NXT UK is also included on this. Tag Team of the Year. Undisputed Era. Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch, Breezango, Imperium, or Gallus. Oh, and Legado del Fantasma. Male Competitor of the Year. Finn Balor, out 13 and a half weeks, I should add. Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, Keith Lee, Walter, Tommaso Ciampa. Ilya, is that right? Ilya Dragunov, am I saying it now right? Soulfly has it I in capital letters, but there's spaces. So is it Ilya? 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 I sound like I'm from the hood. Wait, you call me Ilya? 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 Is that how you say it? Ilya? Ilya? Is it Ilya or Ilya? Ilya. Ilya. Okay, thank you. So from now on, I'll say it. Thank you, Chris. Ilya. Okay. So Ilya Dragunov. See, I never went on Google. You know how you go to Google and you could say, how do you pronounce Ila? And then you hear this robotic thing go, Ilya Dragunov. Ilya Dragunov. I never bothered to check. What did I say? A liar? Anyway. Male Competitor of the Year, Finn Balor, Adam Cole, Johnny Gargano, Keith Lee, Walter, or Tommaso Ciampa. Female Competitor of the Year, Rhea Ripley, Io Shirai, Candice LeRae, Dakota Kai, Kaylee Ray, or Tegan Knox. Event of the Year, NXT UK TakeOver Blackpool 2, TakeOver Portland, TakeOver In Your House, Great American Bash, TakeOver 30, 31, Halloween Havoc, or War Games. Some of these you're going to have to Google and look up the cards to check them out, but I think we probably narrow it down to two or three almost immediately. Future star. Austin Theory, Jake Atlas, Leon Ruff, Casey Catanzaro, Caden Carter, Indy Hartwell, Xia Li, A-Kid, I should have went on Google. How do you pronounce? Oifi Valkyrie? I hope I pronounced that right. I've never had to talk about Valkyrie here. And Pretty Deadly. I tell you, I don't like those names, to be honest with you. Somebody tell me how you pronounce that. Match of the Year. Match of the Year. Boy, do they have a lot on this list. I'll just run through them. The Fatal 4-Way Iron Man match for the NXT Championship, Finn Balor versus Ciampa versus Cole versus Gargano from Super Tuesday. You have Adam Cole versus Finn Balor for the NXT title from Super Tuesday 2. IFA. Thank you. IFA. IFA Valkyrie. Chris, man, thank you. Very easy to understand. So, one final beat. Johnny Gargano versus Tommaso Ciampa from regular NXT television. Finn Balor versus Kyle O'Reilly for the title at TakeOver 31. Keith Lee versus Adam Cole for both the NXT North American Championship and the Heavyweight Championship from the Great American Bash. The five-way ladder match for the NXT North American title from TakeOver 30. The TLS match for the Women's Championship, Tables, Ladders, and Stairs, Io Shirai versus Candice LeRae from Halloween Havoc. Boy, scares. The stairs scares. Walter versus Ia Dragunov. Did I say that right? See, I got to get used to it now. Ilya. Okay. Ilya Dragunov versus Walter for the NXT UK Championship. Men's War Game match from War Games. Women's War Games match. Charlotte Flair versus Rhea Ripley versus Io Shirai for the NXT Women's title from TakeOver In Your House. The ladder match for the NXT UK Tag Team Championships. Gallus versus Imperium versus Grizzled Young Veterans versus Mark Andrews and Flash Morgan Webster from Blackpool 2. Tyler Bate versus Jordan Devlin from TakeOver Blackpool 2. Bronson Reed versus Roderick Strong versus Johnny Gargano. And the Fight Pit match of Matt Riddle versus Timothy Thatcher from NXT. Even Charlotte gets on these awards. Charlotte's triggering people in the chat right now. But, not a bad, lineup. I will think about these, and we'll get into them on Monday. But I am going to jet out of here. I probably talked maybe 30 minutes too much on this, but, we had some fun. Christmas hasn't happened yet, and if you're around Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern, join me here live. I was thinking about recording it in advance, but I have a feeling some of you out there may want to actually talk about AEW chat a little bit. So I will do it live for everybody. I'll do it from 4 to 5. I don't think there's any reason to go. Unless, like I said, there's a couple of things that are supposed to go down tonight. Obviously, we don't have spoilers, but I'm going to watch it now. And if what happens does happen tonight, then we'll have some good conversation to talk about tomorrow. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. So, everyone, much love. And I know a little bit of a shorter show, but I think we had a good recap. So if you enjoyed the show, as always, I'd appreciate it if you gave it a thumbs up. That tells YouTube that you liked the episode and you recommend it to others. If you didn't like the episode, give it a thumbs down. If you post a comment, don't forget, post one for today's show, post one for Thursday's show, and you'll be in on those cash giveaways 2 weeks from now. So, yes, as Dorian says, Merry Christmas Eve, Eve. And I will see you Christmas afternoon Eve, Thursday, December 24th at around 4 p.m. Eastern. So, everyone, much love. Go watch AEW. If you have, like, the digital TV, you could probably rewind it and see it from the beginning. If you don't like AEW, don't watch it. But I'm going to go check it out, and I will get this online for everybody while I'm watching AEW. So much love, everyone. Be well. I catch you all again Thursday, 4 p.m. Eastern, AEW recap. Let's see what Impact Wrestling does, what kind of invasion they try to do tonight. Take care, everybody.